Would you turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2? 1 Peter chapter 2. Today we are finishing off on the four-part, beginning the first Sunday of Advent. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 9, looking at the four identity gifts that the Lord has given to us as children. Verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I thank you that it is what you say about us that determines the truth of who we are. It's not what our parents said unless they spoke your word. It is not what our spouse says unless they're speaking your word. It is not what our children say unless they are speaking your word. It is not what the world says unless they're speaking your word. And it's not even what our enemies say unless they're speaking your word. I thank you that it's what you say about us that determines the truth of who we are. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have come into our life so that we have the faith to believe the truth and be changed by it. Before we begin, I ask for a fresh infilling, Holy Spirit. Would you take literal possession again of my mind, my mouth, every part of me? I surrender myself to be your instrument this morning. And with the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird that would seek to snatch the seed that is going to be sown. I command you to release every person and be outside the walls of this building now in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you again this morning that you are going to be speaking words that I am not going to say. I thank you that you have given ears to your children to hear what you are saying. And so I thank you for the words that will be heard this morning. Let them be captured. And we believe one word from you can change everything. Let that take place today over and over and over. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, I got to tell you what I was most excited about this morning is that this morning I don't have to be careful how I unwrap the present. More of my true nature is coming out where I don't have to tape it up again, wrap it up again. That's what I would normally do to my gift. How many of you are like that? How many of you? Yeah, how many of you are so dainty you unwrap it to use it again? You are so weird. I just want to say that in Jesus' name. For the last 4 weeks, we have just unwrapped a gift of our identity of who we are, what God says about us. The first week, we talked about being a chosen race, looked at the people of Israel, but began to understand that in the New Testament, we, as the believers, are a chosen race, not removing the Jews, but being grafted in. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the fact that we are a royal priesthood. We set up the tabernacle at the front, watched how God moved us through the Holy of Holies into the very presence. And the shift that took place is we are no longer priests representing people before God. We are now royal priests representing God before the people. A radical shift. Last week, we talked about the fact that we are a holy nation. A nation that has been set apart. And we talked about the difference between being righteous and being holy. And today, we're going to look at the last one. A people belonging to God or a treasured possession, depends how you interpret it. I want to begin by getting your reaction. And as I was waiting on the Lord with this, I want to give you two words. You are someone, the Bible says, who belongs to God. You belong to him. The Bible says that you are His possession. I want to ask you, when you think about those two terms, what rises up inside of you? God possesses me. I'm His possession. I belong to God. What rises up inside of you? Anybody here this morning? Wanted? Loved? What was the other one? Valued? We could make a list. I want you to think, how many of you ever take time to think like an unbeliever? How many of you ever take time to do that? How many of you ever think, man, if I wasn't saved, where would I be today? Jane and I sometimes go down that road, we stop ourselves and go, we can't even imagine. The truth is, we'd probably be divorced. Truth is, I'm not sure if I'd be alive. Truth is, likely be an alcoholic. Truth is, wouldn't be in ministry. Truth is, we could just go on and on down the list, right? Without Christ, I can't imagine where I'd be. I want you to think for a moment when a non-believer hears that when you become a believer in Christ, that He possesses you. You become His possession. How do you think they'd respond? Positive or negative? If you went to a non-believer and said, the moment you come to Christ, you belong to Him. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You are now His. How do you think they'd respond? Positive or negative? Negative. It's got to be a cult. We've never heard that before, have we? I want you to think about it for a moment, that the Bible has communicated all down through time, and I'm going to just skip over a whole pile because I want to tell you again, today I want to give you a skeleton that if you choose to, you can go back, chew on it, dwell on it. My prayer is that all four of these, Sunday morning is not the only time you think about them, but you go back home until they become real inside of you. You wake up, look in the mirror and go, I am a royal priest. I am a special possession of God. So I'm going to give you skeleton. I'm not going to give you the seminary version this morning. I want to just, before we get into it, I just want to give you a picture. Gene, could you come and stand over here for a second? I want you, and we all know this, okay? I want you to just think about two men who would both own a suit jacket. And I buy that suit jacket, and I treat that suit jacket like it really has no value. I throw it on the ground. I don't look after it. I put it in the back of the truck. I throw it on whenever I need to. Gene is a person, when he bought the suit jacket, that suit jacket had value to him. He looked after it. He made sure it was brushed. He made sure it was hung up. There were no creases on it. I want you to think for a moment, if that suit jacket could speak and someone came and said, suit jacket, would you rather belong to Colin who treats you that way, or would you rather belong to Gene who treats you that way? What would the suit jacket say? Gene. We all know the suit jacket would say Gene. Now the truth is, if all of your clothes could speak, let's close in prayer, shall we? I don't want to. Are you getting what I'm saying? Okay? I want to give you another example. I want you to I just need a book. Oh, I'll use this book. Okay? This book. Gene gets one book, I get the other book. I get this book. And in a very short period of time, the way that I treat that book, it begins looking like this book. With a Bible, it's true. But someone gets a book, and we know they don't look after that book, okay? It gets thrown in the back of the truck. It gets ripped. It's torn. They're drinking coffee. Coffee gets spilled all over this thing. This thing begins being rattered and tattered, the whole deal. Gene gets the book, and he looks after that book. Yeah? Gene reads that book, and like I said before, there are some of you, when you read the book, you won't even crack the seam. You're going to be like this. You won't write in it. You won't bend it. You won't look at it. This book will be in the shelf 10 years later. You'll pull it out, and it's going to look just like this. I know that. Some of you are just weird, but some of you do that. I want to ask you a question. If a book could speak, and someone came and said, would you rather belong to Cole, who treats you that way, or would you rather belong to Gene? What would the book say? We know what the book would say. Okay. I want you to pretend this is a dog. A dog. A dog. A dog. Yeah, what's wrong with that? I have a daughter-in-law who's American. Why can't I speak American? Okay? I want you to imagine this is a dog. Okay? We see this every day. I have a dog. That dog, I hardly ever pet. That dog gets in my road, I kick the living jibs out of that dog. I forget to feed that dog. I don't give it my attention. That dog has to fend for itself. Gene gets a dog. Gene treats that child, that dog, like it is a child. Gene watches over it. Gene protects it. Gene changes its... Gene, be careful, brother. Just be careful what you... Okay? If you went to the dog and the dog could speak and you said, who would you rather belong to? Would you like to belong to Carl or would you like to belong to Gene? What would the dog say? Every dog would say Gene. Here's the crazy thing. We see this all the time. Okay, I see it all the time. You see people who've got dogs. You watch the way they talk to it and they treat it. I look at that dog and go, man, I wish you belonged to me. Because if you belonged to me, I would treat you very different than the way you're being treated right now. Now, I want to just get a little closer to home. Thank you, Gene. I want to get a little closer to home. You can have a seat, Gene, for a second. How many of you have ever gone shopping into a store and you watch the way some parents treat their children? I'm sorry? Is that? Yeah, I'm sorry. I needed an example. I did. Thank you, Sue. I appreciate it. You walk into the store. You watch the way some parents are treating their child. The child's in the buggy. You watch. You listen to them. Something rises up inside of you. You want to go over there. You want to charge the parent. You want to throw them, the sucker, into jail. You want to phone social services. But inside of you, it's like, I am so sad that child belongs to those parents. I am so sad. Because belonging to the wrong person has a profound impact on that child's life. You get another child, you look at them, and you go, that child is so blessed. Just look at how the parents respect that child. Look at how they care for them. Look at how they provide. Look at how they're there on the sideline cheering them on. Where's the other parent? They're not there at all. Look at that child. That child has experienced no abuse, no neglect, no want in their life. This child over here, it's like, why did you even have that child? Who you belong to affects everything in your life. I want to ask you a question. Can I just tell you a little my personal life? I grew up in a home where when I brought my friends from school, and I would bring, because I lived on the farm, friends from school, the city kids had no clue what the farm was about. They would love coming out to the farm, love the animals, love the skidoo, love the tractor, love doing the sleepover. I mean, kids from school come out to my place all the time, and they, at the end of the, when they're going on the bus the next morning, they look and they go, man, I wish I was part of your family. Man, I wish I had a mom and dad like yours. What was the child saying? I don't like belonging to my family. I don't like what I'm experiencing in relationship with my parents over me. I don't like belonging here. I wish I could belong over here with you. I want you to understand, I need you to get this picture. I don't know that you'll get it as clear as you can. Gene, if I can have you come again. Richard, can I have you come up here for a second? Reg, can I have you come up? Gene, I need you right over here. And Richard, I'd like you right behind. Kev, could you come? Reg, I want you right here. And I need you standing right in front, Kev. I want you to understand the deception that the enemy has in the lives of most people, even in the lives of most believers. There's a deception. If I were to say to you, every person belongs to somebody. Every person belongs to somebody. There is no such thing as an independent person. The Bible says this, and this is not true of these guys' character at all, but the Bible says this, that there's only two kingdoms that people are in, the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. There's only two kingdoms. In the kingdom of darkness, and again, the non-believer doesn't see this, and most believers don't see this as well. In the kingdom of darkness, if a person is not in the light, they're in the kingdom of darkness. In this place, most people think, you know what? No one's telling me what to do. I'm going to do whatever the flip I want. I don't belong to anybody. No one possesses me. No one tells me where I'm going to go, how I'm going to spend my money, what I'm going to do. You think I'm going to put money in an offering plate? Go to... I decide for me. I belong to me. I own me. Nobody determines but me. The truth is they can't see that if they're in this kingdom, right behind them is an enemy who goes, they belong to me. This is my tool. They think they're alone. They are in control. I love that because they're so deceived. They're my instrument, my possession. They belong to me. I'm affected. And they don't even know it. Isn't that beautiful? Can you imagine for a moment if a person had their eyes opened up, they think they're independent and they think they're all that, and all of a sudden their eyes are open and they go, holy smoke, I realize I've been controlled by the enemy. I've been his tool. He's been using me. He's been pulling my strings. There's been nothing independent about me. I've been living, believing that I'm my own determiner. The truth is, I belonged. Here's what the Bible says. When Christ came on the cross of Calvary, what he did is he took every person who by faith believed, transferred them from the kingdom of darkness, from a belonging possession position, transferred them to the kingdom of his dear son, the kingdom of light. Catch this. He didn't make it so that we were delivered from belonging to the enemy being his possession. He didn't deliver us to go, now you're independent. Now you're free. Now you belong to yourself. Now you can do whatever you want. He didn't deliver us to get freedom from belonging. He delivered us to belong to him. He delivered us to become his possession. Let me ask you an incredibly dumb question. Who do you think could do better with you? You or God? Isn't that a dumb question? If it was so dumb, why is it that most of us who are believers, who know that we've been delivered from darkness, live like I'm independent? I want to give you a picture. Imagine I'm your boss. You show up to work on Monday morning. You say, hi, boss. And then you go off and do whatever you want to do. You don't ask me what I need you to do. You don't ask me where I need you to go. You don't ask me why I've hired you. You just come and say, hi, boss, and you go off and do whatever you want to do, and then you just show up and get a paycheck. Now, you and I both know this. In the world, how long would you last? How long would you last? You probably last about 4 minutes until after you walked away, I could go find you and say, hey, what's going on here? And you go, hey, I'm, you don't own me. And I go, yes, I do. As long as I'm paying for you, you belong to me. Your time belongs to me. You are my possession. During this period of time, what I say you do goes. And if you don't like it, you can go belong to someone else. But during this period of time, you belong to me. And they go, I don't belong to you. Nobody tells me what to do. Yeah, you'll pay me, but you don't tell me what to do. I go, it doesn't work like that, Buck. The door you came in, I want you to understand this clearly. Every person of the world belongs and is the possession of the enemy. When we have been transferred from darkness to light, we don't have independence. We now belong and we are now the possession of Almighty God. To live in the middle like I'm independent from His I'm back belonging here again. Do you see that? Can I ask you a tough question? How much of the church is right here? Yeah, He's my Savior, but He ain't my Lord. Really? So who do you belong to? Who's calling the shots? Who's determining what you do? Who's determining what comes out of your mouth? Who's determining where you spend your money? Who do you belong to? Do you get the picture? Thank you, gentlemen. You can be seated. I want you to think of this for a moment, and we're just going to fly over this really quickly. All down through the Old Testament, God came to the people and said, "You are my special possession. Out of all the people in the world, I have chosen you. You belong to me. You are my possession. My purposes in your life, I want them to be fulfilled through you." And he's saying this, it's not just because I chose you, He did, but He's going, you belong to me for a couple reasons. Think about it this way. This book is in the bookstore. It came with about 500 of them. It's in the bookstore. I see this book on the shelf. I go, you know what? Out of all the 500 books, I want this book. This one's going to be mine. I go, how do I ensure that this book belongs to me, becomes mine? Out of the 500, how do I make sure? What do? One thing. I pay for it. Wouldn't that be fun to go in and write your name on it and walk out and go, hey, it's got my name on it. No wonder Wiseman's is closing down. Is that what we've been doing? Here's the deal. I choose one book out of all of them. I walk to the front. I take money. I pay for it. The moment I pay for it, it belongs to me. Can I ask you a question? Did God have legal right to say to His people, you belong to me because I paid for you? I want you to get a picture of a slave, and this is the image of days gone by. I want you to get a picture of a slave who was underneath a master which treated him like horrible. The master said, I don't want them anymore, threw them on the slave block. The auction happened. I ended up going and buying the slave. The slave comes to me. I paid for them. They come and go, I'm free now. I'd go, you're what? They go, I'm free. I go, you're not free. I paid for you. You belong to me. Can I just do an aside here? Here's the beautiful thing about God's people. Slavery existed among the Jewish people, right? We know that. Here's the thing. A Jew could not make another Jew a slave. They couldn't do that even if they're in debt. They would have them work for them for a period of time. Every 7 years, they had to release that person, had to give all the land back, had to give all their possessions every 7 years. Can you imagine your debt being eliminated in 7 years? How many of you would go, amen? Amen? If that happened, by the way, the lender would be far smarter because they go, I know in 3 years that it's all coming back, so I'm only lending you the amount that you can pay me back. I mean, that's what they did, right? So the Jewish people did not have slaves. They could not make each other slaves. That was against the law. God's going, you know what? You belong to me. You don't belong to one another. But the Jewish people had slaves that were non-Jewish people, and here's the cool thing. Got to the point where they said, you need to release this person after a period of time, even though they're not Jewish, you need to release them, but, and give them freedom, but, if this slave said to you, I would rather belong to you than be independent. What I have experienced with you, living in your home, with you as my master, I don't want to be out there on my own. I want to belong to you. I want to be your possession. Imagine people saying that. I don't want freedom. Because I've had freedom or I've never had freedom. But I've had freedom, I don't want it because what I experience with you is better than what I can do on my own. I know that. So I don't want to be free. What did they do? Old Testament, what did they do to mark that person as belonging? What did they do? Took the ear to the doorpost, pounded a hole in the ear, and it marked them from that point on. That person said, I belong to you. I am your possession forever. As a free will. But I want you to understand this. The moment I pay for this book, it's mine. The moment Christ paid for you and you accepted it, what happened? We became his. How many of us wake up every day and go, I don't belong to me? I don't call the shots. I don't determine what I do. Somebody owns me. I belong to someone else. They determine my life. They determine every part about me. I don't belong to me. I belong to them. That means I got to go to them and say, hey, I belong to you. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live my life? I want to tell you one of the most powerful deceptions in the body of Christ today is people who believe and declare they're believers, and yet the truth is they live like they don't belong to anybody. They live independent lives. They don't belong. How else? Somebody pays for you, you belong. What's another way that God goes, I have legal right over your life? You're mine. You're not your own. You're mine. What's another way he did it? Huh? Say it again, Al. Put it. Here's the deal. 1 Corinthians. The Bible says this. The moment I accept what Christ did on the cross of Calvary, the moment that happens, the Spirit of God comes inside of me. I become a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says this, the moment you have my seal, you no longer belong to you. You are now mine. I'm dwelling in you. Let me give you one more. I'm in prison. There's no way for me to bail myself out. Jesus comes and goes, I'm going to get you out of prison. I'm going to deliver you from those chains, and I'm going to bring you to a place of freedom. He goes, inside there, you're behind the bars. The moment I deliver you, you belong to me. I want to ask you a question. God said to the Israelite people, he goes all down through, he goes, Israelites, you are my special possession. How long did that last? How long did it last? From God's perspective, I don't believe the Israelites have ever been anything other than God's possession. The truth is, you can be his possession and choose to belong to another. It's called spiritual adultery. The Israelites opened up the door over and over and over, began worshiping idols, began sacrificing their children. They were God's special possession, belonged to him, all the benefits of a great parent with a child. They walked away from that and said, you know what? We want our own king. We don't want you to be king anymore. They began to move. They went, you know what? We want to have the worship of the gods. We want to marry women from other places. We bring them in. I got to tell you, I'm going to have a conversation with Solomon when I get to heaven. Any of you want to talk to Solomon? How can you be the wisest, most stupid man on earth? How can that happen? How can you walk with God in intimacy, have him visit you, ask for wisdom, and then at the very end of your life, throw all that wisdom away and begin sacrificing your children to idols, begin building false temples for your pagan wives? How can you begin doing that? Get to the point where your life with God, you go, it's all vanity. It's worthless. It's nothing. How can the wisest man on earth get to that point? I'm going to ask him. The Israelite people, the heart of God was that they would always be his special possession, that they would belong to God, and like a child from an amazing home would experience the best that God had for them. To the point, let me say this, to the point where he goes, I want the world to be jealous of you. When people look at you, I want them to go, you must be one of God's kids. How come you're healthy when everyone else is sick? I belong to God. How come your marriage is doing well when every other one's falling apart? I belong to God. How come your business is doing good in an economy that's suffering? I belong to God. How come your crops are 100-fold when right beside you famine has hit? I belong to God. How come your cows are, you're not losing calves? Everybody else is losing calves from scours this year. How come you haven't lost a calf? I belong to God. I'm his possession. I don't belong to me. I belong to someone else. Do we live that way? From the world's perspective, to belong to someone and to be their possession is an absolutely negative thing. In the kingdom of God, for me to go, I belong. I am the possession of Almighty God. I want to leave you with one last picture. The ultimate picture of a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a treasured possession, the ultimate picture is when Christ came to earth. Can I ask you a question? Did he belong to himself? Was he God's own possession? Let me say this. When Jesus goes, I have never done a single thing apart from my Father telling me what to do. Who owned him? God did. When he says, I have never spoken a single word independent of my Father, I only say what he tells me to say. Who owns him? Can I tell you, it is the ultimate picture of belonging to God and experiencing the fruit of being his possession. I want to say it to you again. There are some women who go, I would rather belong to another man than what I'm living with. There are some men who go, I would rather belong and be connected to a different woman that I'm with. There are some children who go, I would rather be the parents, be the child of a different set of parents than my own. Here's the good one. There's parents who go, I would rather my children belong to someone else. No, you know what I'm saying. There are some things in this life, guys, we don't have a real choice in. But let me tell you, the choice we have, the ultimate choice we have, is who am I going to belong to? And I'm going to live like it, or I'm going to live independent. God is going, he's looking at you and going, I just want to tell you, you are my special possession. Let me own you. Let me reinforce, I paid for you. Let me reinforce, I delivered you. Let me reinforce, I have filled you with my Spirit. Let me reinforce, you don't belong to you anymore. You don't have the pressure of looking after you anymore. I do. And he's going, look at all my kids. You go and ask my kids who really know me, would you rather have a different parent? Or are you glad that you're mine? Tell me what every child of God who knows him and lives in the blessing would say. No, I'd rather belong to someone else. Really? I got to tell you one thing. God and I were just talking about, we were doing the message, putting it together. God said this, and some of you remember the Iraq war, Saddam Hussein, the whole deal. I remember a statement that was made coming out of the States. So many people were against the Americans going over and doing what they did. I remember one of them made a statement. It triggered me. I forget which general it was. He goes, who would you rather be the dominant superpower in the world right now? Saddam Hussein in Iraq or George Bush in America? Who would you rather? Choose your superpower. Do you know during the Second World War they had to choose the same? Who would you rather be the dominant world leader right now? Adolf Hitler or who would you choose? Some of that stuff we don't have control over, but can I tell you what we do have control over? Who you belong to. And here's the question. God says, you're my child. You are my special possession. You belong to me. That is the highest blessing that you and I could live under. If I was the enemy, I would make sure you never get a revelation of what it means to belong and be a possession. That's the skeleton. Anybody have a question? Dean. Great question. So Dean makes a statement and said, why does Scripture say, he who the Son sets free is free indeed? What does that actually mean? Does it mean Gene is over here with Richard behind him? He's in bondage to the enemy. Christ comes, who the Son sets free from the bondage of the enemy, is free indeed to be independent, or free indeed to now become a child of God, live under the Lordship, blessing of Almighty God, the best parent out there. You are now free to experience what it means to be a child from an awesome home. The ultimate Daddy Warbucks. Let me tell you, that movie was a powerful prophetic picture of being an orphan being adopted by Almighty God. That was a powerful, powerful picture. The term there, Dean, is free indeed, is not free to be independent, because independence means death. It means freed from this, now to experience the fullness in relationship of belonging to God. That's a great question. Anybody else? Dennis? Dennis is saying we teach our children to be independent. Can I ask you a question? How many of you ever raised your children to go at 18 years of age when you leave the home? I don't ever want you coming back. I don't want you to take my last name. I don't ever want you to turn to me, look to me. I want you to be on your own. How many of us ever trained our children to do that? Let's define independent. We train our children to be responsible, not to be independent of parents or family. At 2 years of age, we begin giving our children choices to go, you choose this, here's the consequence. You choose this, here's the blessing. Choose, child. We raise them up to be responsible, never to be independent of relationship. Can I tell you what breeds independence? Brokenness, wounding, abuse. How many children go, I want nothing to do with my parents because of what I've experienced in that home? That's not independence, that's brokenness. That definition, great distinction. Great. Colleen. That's great. Yeah. Colleen, that's an excellent point. She's saying, her making her statement, she goes, part of why we don't understand it is we haven't read the policy of what it means to belong to Him. Psalm 103 says what? Forget not your benefits. How many of you went to work for a large company and said, I don't care what benefits you give me, I just want to work for you for free? I believe every power of hell wants to make sure we don't know our benefit package, Colleen. That's an excellent point. If we knew it, I think we would jump ship and transfer. First one. Anybody else? Comment? Question? Would you bow with me? Oh, Harold. Okay, so Harold is saying, my friends love coming to my house. What would happen if I put them into the chicken coop or the pig barn? Let's close in prayer, shall we? Can I tell you a really cool thing? When my friends came out to my house, they loved it when we had to do chores. They loved it when I had to go and feed pigs. They loved it when we had to fill the chop pails, back it up, and feed all the steers along the side. They loved it when we had to bale and stack all the bales, and they're out there sweating in the whole deal. You know why that is? I believe they absolutely loved having purpose. Can't tell you how many of my school friends would go home. The only thing they were told to do, just take out the garbage. After that, entertain yourself. Don't get into trouble. Oh, meet up with the kids at the mall. They loved getting dirty. They loved working. I didn't, but they did. They did. Suzanne. It's true. Suzanne is saying part of the issue was when they came into the house, there was someone there to welcome them. Okay, we know what the latchkey kid is, right? That existed when I was a kid. How many kids went home in town? They're both mom and dad are working. They had to be home alone for 2-3 hours, no one there. Every time I came home, man, we got off the school bus, got to the house. Mom had something baking. Something was cooking. There was never a time when we weren't greeted by something that was unhealthy. But it's true. Totally. Totally appreciated. But the sense of belonging, the sense of being loved, the sense of having relationship. That's absolutely true. Beautiful. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, it is only by revelation that we are able to shift our thinking and be transformed. From the very beginning, the spirit of the enemy in the Garden of Eden wanted independence from belonging to God, independence from being his possession, independence from his lordship, was seeking to be independent, which moved into rebellion, which the Bible says is the spirit of witchcraft. We are very aware that the spirit of witchcraft is alive and well in the body of Christ with people claiming to be believers but living their own lordship. Father, let that not be true in this place, under the sound of my voice. Let that not be true. Would you give us revelation that to belong to you is the greatest blessing? To belong to you is the greatest protection. To belong to you is the greatest provision. To belong to you is life. I thank you, Father, that you paid the price to own me, to own us. I thank you that you do better with me than I do with myself. And I thank you that you want my life to be such that people of the world look and go, I want to be part of your family. I want your parents. I want to belong where you belong. Let the world be jealous as we live in the fullness of what it means to be your child. Father, today, I ask that you would release revelation that we are a chosen race. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy, set-apart nation. And we are your treasured possession, a people belonging to you. Your word says, at one time we were no people, now we are a people. Thank you for that gift. Seal this inside of us, your children. And may we never see ourselves any different than the truth of who you've made us to be. I declare to you today what you already know. The Lord has blessed you and he's keeping you. The Lord has caused his face to shine on you and he has been gracious to you. The Lord has lifted up his countenance upon you and he has filled you with his peace. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody believing and receiving said,